Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. And Philip, if you'd like to come up and pray. Heavenly Father, we do stand in awe of you. Your power, your peace, your love overwhelms each one of us. Lord, we pray now that you would fill Philip, that you would give him your peace as he brings your word to us this evening, that he may decrease, Lord, and you may increase, that each person here, Lord, will receive from you. For we ask it in your name and for your glory. Amen.
Good evening, church. Well, you probably picked up some clues from the songs and prayers this evening. The theme of the sermon is the peace of God in times of trouble. You know, let me ask you some questions. Do we live in a troubled world?
Yes.
Of course we do. Do we live in troubled times?
Yes.
Yeah. And what kinds of troubles are there globally?
Famine.
We've got wars, we've got famine.
Corruption.
There's climate change. Persecution. There's financial crisis. There's disease. All sorts of problems out there. And does being a Christian mean that we'll be immune from these troubles?
No,
I'm afraid not. Does the Bible say you won't have troubles? No, in fact, it says we will. In Matthew 24, verse 6, says, you will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed, you see. And in Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to his disciples, his apprentices, that there'll be wars, rumours of wars, famines, earthquakes, before he comes again. In John 12, verse 8, Jesus says, we will always have the poor among us. In John 16, 33, he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. Now, God didn't say these problems will disappear when we become Christians, but he does say he's in it with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Life is as it is. Stuff happens. And sometimes it's devastating, isn't it? So what about peace? What is this word peace means? Sometimes peace can just mean the absence of war. And in the time when this was written, the Latin word pax normally symbolized an absence of hostilities. If you ever did Latin at school, like I did, anyone else do Latin? Oh, well, look at that. You may have read De Bello Gallico, the Gallic Wars by Julius Caesar. We had to go through that and translate it, and that was kind of fun. And the Romans were often at war, weren't they? And over the centuries, they created one of the biggest empires of the times, and they covered sways right across Europe up to Britain and sort of halfway across Germany and the entire north coast of Africa, and around the Bible lands, of course. And to them, pax meant there's no hostilities at the moment. So that's one way of looking at it. Peace can mean a sort of external peace, something outside of us. There's another meaning of the word peace, and that's the internal kind of peace in our hearts. And peace in our hearts, our minds, our spirit, this more corresponds to the shalom of the Hebrew, which means a sort of wholeness, a quietness in the spirit, an inner peace between ourselves and God. And even when there's turmoil around us, we can have this peace. If we turn to God in prayer and ask for his peace, we can get through to it. Now in Isaiah 26 verse 3, in a song of praise to God, we read these words, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." So if we trust in God, he will keep us in peace. That's the word of God. Okay? And it's echoed in Philippians 4:4-7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You may be well familiar with those words. It's the benediction of the Eucharist from the Book of Common Prayer, been around for centuries. "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always." Do you know those words? We sort of heard them from childhood. Well, I did. I used to be a choir boy. Did you know that? I was a choir boy. Now, this sounds a bit of a challenge, doesn't it? You know, how do we face these storms in life and still have this inner peace? It's quite difficult, isn't it? You know, sometimes we do go through terrible times in life. A child may lose one or both parents and grow up in very difficult circumstances. Maybe fostered out. A person may suffer a bereavement, marital breakdown, loss of a child, a job, a whole career, their home. These can be utterly devastating. In my years as a salesman, I used to pick up hitchhikers, because it's funny how the conversation would get round to God so easily. And they didn't care, because in 20 minutes I'd be dropping them off. They'd never see me again. I was coming back from Southampton up to Cirencester, and you come to this roundabout, and you say, "Which way, Lord?" "Up through Winchester, or left to Salisbury." "I went round it twice." "Which way, Lord?" "Which way?" He said, "Salisbury." So I went down there, 200 yards along, hitchhiker. Picked him up, backpack on the back seat, climbed in. And I said, "Hello, what's your name?" And the name Paul drifted into my mind just before he said Paul. And straight away, you got to start listening up, because you know God's up to something. And we talked, and out came his story. He was a Christian, but he'd been through a divorce. He lost his job, lost his home, ended up in a mobile home for a while. He got another job for a while, then he lost that. He lost his home, and he was just travelling with his backpack, sleeping rough, and that was stolen. So he had nothing. He picked up a few bits and bobs on the way, and he's off to a shelter in Salisbury. And we ended up praying at the lay-by just before I dropped him off. And, you know, poor guy just burst into tears, and we prayed, and he just felt uplifted by it. You know, through all those storms, he'd still held his faith. And maybe God had a plan for him, I don't know. I've never seen him again since, but I'll see him again one day, up there with the Lord, and we'll find out the whole story. But that prayer seemed to bring a sort of stillness and a confidence back into him, in spite of those problems. Jesus said so many times, "Do not worry, do not be afraid." How do we get to that place when life goes wrong? Well, what did Jesus do? He turned to his Father in prayer, didn't he? He sought a quiet place to spend time with his dad, to restore his soul, to bring peace, quiet in his heart. Through busy times, he'd find time to pray. And some of the most peaceful people on earth have come through very hard times with God and come out on top. In 2 Corinthians 24:26, Paul says, "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea." You know, he went through many hard places in life, but he used his faith to pull him through. He just clung on to God. And that reading we saw earlier, he just talked about peace. Through all the rough times he'd been through, he could still talk about the peace of God. So it must be available to us. And Paul emerged as one of the most outstanding theologians in the Bible. He's an apostle, a bold evangelist, a church planter, a prolific writer. Some people go through hard times and turn their backs on God and blame God, saying, "How could he allow this to happen?" Perhaps they're asking the wrong question. Maybe we ask, "Why did God allow this to happen? Is he trying to show me something? What's he trying to show me?" The answer may be hard to face, but I believe God doesn't give us things we cannot handle if we hold on to him. When times get bloody, then that's time to hold on to God. Cling on to him. Pray like crazy, you know, and he'll pull us through. It's not a time to run from God. That doesn't solve anything, does it? I know it's hard at times, but Lord, please help. You just keep asking, keep praying, and we come through. There are some significant people in the world whom I think God allowed to go through hardships for a reason. Nelson Mandela came to mind. He's a Christian, and from his days as a young man, he belonged to a Methodist church. Doesn't talk about his faith much. But he became involved in an organization that wanted to overthrow this sin of apartheid. And the authorities captured him, put him in prison. He was in there for 27 years. Can you imagine? 27 years. But his Christian faith kept him going, gave him peace in his heart, in spite of hard labor, terrible conditions in the prison, harsh treatment. He eventually left as a balanced man of peace and a statesman. Extraordinary. Extraordinary man. Bishop Desmond Tutu said that Mandela underwent a transformation in Robben Island prison. He writes, when Mandela was first imprisoned, he was forthright and belligerent, but in jail he mellowed. He began to discover the depths of resilience and spiritual attributes that he would not have known he had. He allowed the suffering to ennoble him and found himself able to be gentle and compassionate towards others. Prison doesn't often do that to people, but with God, all things are possible. And when Nelson Mandela walked out of prison, his dignity, his restraint, his spirit of reconciliation, his desire for national unity were so apparent, he could almost reach out and touch it as he walked to freedom. Millions around the world watched. And Tutu described him as a Christ-like figure who had a capacity to draw out the good that is in others. And his autobiography, Walk to Freedom, nice thick paperback, recommend it. A wonderful book. Even in times of hardship, God can pull us through and use our circumstances to change us into the person he wants us to be, if we let him. Another person came to mind was a lady known as Julian of Norwich. We don't know her real name. She lived attached to the Church of St. Julian, so we think that's where she picked up the name from. She was what they call an anchoress, a devoted Christian who chose to live a solitary life in a small room attached to the church. She lived in there. She stayed in there all the time. She prayed. She devoted her life to God, to prayer, to counseling people. And around her was plague-torn Britain, the Black Death. Her social conditions were terrible. There was disease, unemployment, poverty on a grand scale. And she wrote a book about the visions that God showed her, her revelations of the love of God. And it was the earliest book written in English by a woman ever found. It goes back nearly 700 years, I think. And one quote from her book, she wrote, "He did not say, you shall not be tempest tossed. You shall not be work weary. You shall not be discomforted. But he did say, you shall not be overcome." God wants us to heed these words so that we shall always be strong in trust. Whether we're in sorrow or joy, always strong in trust. Trust in the Lord. Later in life, she went through a terrible sickness, almost died. She was given the last rites. They thought she was going, and yet she recovered. And through all this, she still found peace with her Lord and wrote these well-known words of encouragement, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well." Has anyone heard those before? Yeah. Those words have been an encouragement to countless thousands of people in times of difficulty to find their inner peace. The antidote to worry. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. Faith and prayer kept these people going. Prayer is important, isn't it? It's like an umbilical cord between us and God. It allows that goodness and love and power to flow between Father and us. And we need that spiritual sustenance to feed our soul, our spirit. Corporate worship helps us to do this. It creates a sort of formal framework where we come together, we connect with God through song, through prayer, through listening to the word. But an hour or two a week in church on a Sunday isn't really enough. We need to tune into Father during the week, more often than just Sundays. And we all pray during the week to a greater or lesser degree, some of us more than others. Sometimes it's a difficult thing to do. Sometimes there is something difficult we need to do. We find ourselves in a hard place, and that's when fear can get in the way. Oh no, I might lose my job, or oh no, this might happen, that might happen. The doubt, the uncertainty. It stops the power of prayer. It blocks the power. So fear can stop us praying. That's why Jesus said so many times, do not be afraid. It's important. So many times he said it, I think about 16 times in the Gospels. Do not be afraid. It's important. So try and find that stillness, not of denial, but finding a place of peace. Anger can get in the way as well. Many strong emotions can get in the way. And humanly speaking, we're terribly fallen, and most of what we feel isn't to be trusted. Feelings are not a good guide for deeds. We need to stand on the word of God, be in tune with God, with his Holy Spirit. Jesus often withdrew to a quiet place where he could be at one with Father, a personal prayer retreat for a few hours, for a night. And ideally, we need to find a quiet place where we can be at one with God. Now, Matthew 6, verse 6 says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father. Some of us have a room we can go and do that with. Just say to your spouse or your kids, I'm just going for a bit of quiet time. Can you sort of not disturb me for the next 5 minutes, half an hour, however long? Sometimes we haven't got that. And I know one or two people will go for a walk and pray as they go. Or they'll just walk in the park and sit for a while. I go up Robinswood Hill just for a bit of peace away from the bustle of life. Another place I know is quite popular for this. I don't know if you've been in the cathedral. There's a little chapel at the back they call the Blue Room with blue stained glass windows. It is such a peaceful, prayer-filled place. You just feel drawn into prayer, and people just go and sit in silence with their God for a while and just feel that peace. Go and see if you haven't seen already. Some of us been there? Yeah? Is it good? Is it lovely there? Thumbs up from the back. And if we can't find a quiet place to go, maybe you're at work, maybe there's business all around, we just need to sit quietly and open a place in our minds to God and invite him in. Allow Jesus to walk into our minds and our spirits. In the midst of the pain we're in, the turmoil, the tantrums, the belligerent people you might be among, the problem you're trying to solve, the storms around you, let's try and find that place with God where we just let Jesus come in. Ask him for that peace in the storm. And he comes in and helps us. If you've never tried it, please do. Some of us have tried it, you may find it difficult, but with practice, it gets easier. And, sometimes things go wrong and you sort of snap, the anger bursts out. Or you might burst into tears or feel like running away. Or those are the times when we need to turn to God instead and we can find ourselves still. And God comforts us, he strengthens us, he'll keep us, he's willing to help us, he'll carry us through it. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, cum forte, with strength, he comes and fortifies us on the inside. If I can refer back to Isaiah 26, verse 3, those words, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Perfect peace, the original Hebrew says shalom, shalom. It's peace, peace. Not just perfect peace, but peace, peace. Says it twice. The Lord will keep in peace, peace, him whose mind is steadfast. So let's expand on that. God will keep us in peace, peace, in perfect peace, in inward peace, outward peace, peace with God, peace of conscience, peace at all times, under all events. If our minds are stayed upon God because we trust in him, this peace shall be ours and we will keep it. It's God's promise. Claim it. Claim it. It's there for the asking. So those that trust in God, we need to have our minds stayed on him, trust him at all times, under all events. It's very easy to get distracted by worldly things going on. Oh gosh, we're going to get some more work from this month and we forget to hang on, Father knows all about it. Did I eat today? Yes, Father knows all about it. And if we do this, we get this perpetual peace. The peace shall keep us. When the weather turns into a cyclone, the hurricane, in the midst of this storm is a zone of relative quiet. Have you heard the expression, the eye of the storm? It's a big cyclone going round and round, but in the middle, it's almost completely still. It's noisy out there. You can see the things flying through the air sometimes, but in the middle, there is this peace. And we need to seek this place of stillness with God in the eye of our particular storm in life at the moment. In Colossians 3, verse 15, Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." We were called to peace. And be thankful. Now, Paul doesn't say it's automatic. He said we have to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. It's an action we have to undertake. It echoes John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." You know that verse, don't you? Do not let. He says it again in verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." It's our decision. Jesus didn't say he'd do it for us. We have to do it. So I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. Just get comfortable and seek a quiet place within you that is centered on God. You might like to invite Jesus into your heart and give to him any storms in your life at the moment. Lord, we give these to you. The turmoil, the difficult people we're trying to deal with, the difficult situations, the pain and distress of it all. We give that to you, Lord. We cast our burdens upon you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you came to set us free from these. We now try to picture a candle flame. Light is a symbol in the Bible that represents Jesus, represents God. And as we sit and look at the light, we can see in our imagination the light that symbolizes the everlasting love of God for us. The light that shines on the path that Jesus lays out before us. Lord, thank you that you offer us your peace in spite of things going wrong around us sometimes. Please remind us, Holy Spirit, that your everlasting peace is there for us to take hold of. And Lord, you know all the difficulties we've been through throughout our lives, our parents before us and their parents before them. Lord, we give all of that background to you and ask for your perfect peace, your joy in our hearts. We give our lives to you, Lord Jesus Christ, and invite you to come in and help us to become the people you want us to be, a newness of life in our spirit. May we soar up on wings like eagles, strengthened on the inside with your spirit, your love, your compassion for others. Just give you a moment for your own private prayers with the Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.